Good afternoon. Good afternoon. I'd like to call the House Finance Committee to order. Today is Thursday, January 21, 2016. The time is 1:32 p.m. Members present are, we have Representative Wilson, Pruitt, Kawasaki, Representative Sadler, Thompson, Guttenberg, Gaddis, Edgman, Representative Munoz, and myself, Representative Newman, and Representative Guerra. We do have a full House. Today we'll have a presentation on the work that the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities has done over the interim to incorporate results-based budgeting into their managing and budget process. If you remember a few years back, this is the same process the Department of Health and Social Services went through, asked them to identify their mission statement and then go down and set their priorities. My staff, Pete Eklund, is going to make a brief introduction, and then we'll turn things over to Mr. Holtz. Pete?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Pete Eklund, staff to Co-Chair Newman. And you're right, Mr. Chairman, as committee members will remember, about 3 years ago, the Department of Health and Social Services undertook working with Mr. Holt to incorporate results-based budgeting into their budgeting and management processes. And as the co-chair just stated, DOT has just done it, this interim. And so with those two agencies, that's about, with state and federal dollars, they represent about $4 billion of our state budget. Mm-hmm. So it's a significant portion, although it's just two agencies, it's two of the bigger and more important agencies to undertake this kind of process and incorporate it into their system. And just in general, it's if you'll remember, and Craig also, I should mention, Craig's going to have some training on Saturday for anybody that wants a more in-depth refresher into the results-based budgeting philosophy and how it's helped both the Department of Health and Social Services and transportation help them have better outcomes, or working towards better outcomes for the...
That's Saturday at 9.
9 a.m. to noon at the Farron Camp in Butchovich Rooms. But and the reason really we're undertaking this this is the last slide that Craig's going to go through, but really the first couple bullet points on the takeaways there is it's trying to change the culture of government and moving away from just getting dollars to do more to a more management approach to get better outcomes. And so that's one of the root causes we're trying to undertake this is changing how you guys, the legislature and the finance committee, how you interact with the departments as you're the group of investors who are investing in not just activities that departments run around and do all kinds of activities, but you're investing in outcomes and in results. And so that's a philosophical change and a culture change in the relationship between the legislature and the executive branch agencies, and also it's a culture change within the departments. And so that's really the base of why we've undertaken this effort. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Craig. So,
great. Thank you for those salient remarks, Pete. Co-chairs, members of the committee, great to be here again. I can't remember when it was, but it doesn't seem like it was that long ago. It probably was for you, because you did a lot of work since I was here last. So we only have about, 87 minutes or so right now to kind of go through this. So I'm going to hit on this is an interesting gap we have here, but if you want to, that's okay. Yeah. I'm going to just try and hit and refresh some of you folks on some of the basics. I do want to underscore something that Pete said, that we'll have a more detailed discussion and training on Saturday, where we'll be using examples from both the Department of Health and Social Services and transportation in more detail. They've made a lot of progress, but we didn't want to necessarily focus on that. I want to say from the onset also, these departments have taken two similar but different approaches from my perspective. Department of Health and Social Services really focused on trying to get a sense around how their money was flowing, as a $2.8 billion organization, less than that now, of course, but what it was, you can appreciate that. So they're actually going to be having some slides where they'll be able to show not only how their money is flowing all the way down to the direct services, but also cuts and how that flowed down, as well as then funding source. So it really becomes a powerful tool to look at that. That's where they put their emphasis. They're now in the process of bringing their measures along.
the DOT really focused on wanting to get their measures started. And so what you're going to see in this presentation is more of a richness around the actual measures and the alignment of that. They have begun the process of aligning their monies then and their budget to those outcomes. They'll be ready to have that discussion with you when the time comes up. So I just wanted to say, what you're going to see, if you may not remember what we did with Haskell, I'll give you at least one teaser slide to remember. You'll be able to see from two agencies what the final picture should look like, where not only do you have an accountability for how the dollars all flow, but also then the measures show how well your investment is doing. Okay? With that.
Thank you. And members, this is meant to be interactive, so as we go along, if you got questions, just let us know and we'll.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Okay, this is our agenda. We're going to talk about results, performance management, and then how the DOT, Commissioner Lucan, how they're actually deploying it. All right, the first thing, you folks are the investors on behalf of Alaskans. There's 15, 16 agencies and then various boards and commissions. The very first thing that you all should be focused on is the mission of that agency, because that sets the framework for then how all of the services they do flow down. And I shared this with you before, but as a reminder, if you don't agree with the mission, you should stop. Because everything else is going to be a surrogate conversation for not agreeing on the mission. And so very briefly, the mission should state why the department exists, the unique contribution of that department. It should unify the core services, not a circus tent that allows everybody to get under, but really unifies them, and be memorable and usable. The reason why it should be memorable and usable is because it's supposed to bring focus to those people that are involved in the organization. So the fewer words, the better the focus, the higher the likelihood the things that they are doing are in line with the mission. What it should not be, a list of everything you do, include statements of values, be qualifiers of who, how well, how good, or contain language that is vague and unclear. And to illustrate that, these are some, I just popped them out of the OMB circulate you have in there. These are actual mission statements from some agencies. Now, there's some good stuff in here, and then there's some maybe stuff that could possibly improve. So let's just maybe go through these very quickly. The first one, protect, maintain, and improve fish and game, aquatic plant, resources, maintain, and manage. I think that wins the record for the longest run-on as a sentence. It's in there, by the way. What they have in this statement is a statement of mission, but they also have statements of what they're going to do, how well they're going to do it, and who they're going to do it for. Not that that's bad, but it becomes then sometimes cloudy as to then fundamentally, though, what are you about? Take a look at the next one, Department of Corrections. Provide secure confinement, reformative programs, and a process of supervision. By the way, those sound an awful lot like three core services that they deliver. Two, enhance the safety of communities. I think you can see that right there the importance of the focus there. Because if you're really focused on the enhancements that enhance the safety of our communities, then you can start really measuring how well are we doing against that. Versus sometimes the other can get cloudy. Ensure quality standards-based instruction. Two, improve academic achievement for students. Again, I think that one is, if you focus on the first part versus the last part, you can really get in a different place, correct? The next one I happen to like because the commissioner's next to me. Keep Alaska moving through services and infrastructure. That's pretty clean. It's pretty clear. And then provide safe and legal working conditions to advance opportunities for employment. So as you go through it, as you work with your agencies, the encouraging thing I would say is it's probably there and it's probably pretty close. I wouldn't necessarily, force it to have to get down to three or four words. What I would say is there's some good work in there for you to at least to start with. Okay, now why it's important, I think this really brings it home. Alcohol and Beverage Control Board, okay? Is the mission to public protection, by the way, don't engage. These are kind of rhetorical because I know you may want to. These are rhetorical. Facilitation of commerce, revenue collection and disbursement, none of the above or all of the above. And the rhetorical question there is, does it make a difference what the mission is? Because if the mission is public protection, and that's what you believe you're funding, but the agency thinks that they're about revenue collection and disbursement, do you think that could lead to some frustration with both you and them? Okay? So that's why I think it brings home the point of the importance of having clarity and agreement on what the mission is. Okay. Now, once you have the mission statement, then it's what do you talk about once you have the mission statement? and I agree we're working with House Finance. And if you can see, the idea is to shift from inputs to outcomes. And on the left-hand side of the equation, you can see there's bags of monies, there's, you know, PCNs lining up, and then there's, you know, technology, whatever. And that tends to be, those are the input side of the equation. And you can have a lot of conversation about the input side and line item and where are they all identifying. But the real issue for you as the investors is how do those things contribute to the safe movement of people and goods, statewide access and connectivity, and access to exploration and development. So the shift is the conversation away from just how much do we have to what are we really getting with it. Because even in dire fiscal times, that you still have money that is being invested. So let me restate that for effect. Even in dire fiscal times, you still have money that's being invested. So it's really important that whatever you have, and I think someone once told me that when the less money you have, the more important you need to make sure that it's going to the right things. And so, again, the shift, not just on the money itself, but what is the money actually going for? And to illustrate that even further, it's about investing also in the results, not the activities that are done. So if you look at the puzzle pieces, and by the way, if you're a type of person that likes to put puzzles together, it doesn't. These are just random pieces, so they won't come together. So let me set you at ease if you're that kind of a person. Or you can prove it to yourself later. If you really focused on investing in things like, let's say, construction or even snow removal, okay, and you can see in there there's program contract administration, road and runway maintenance. If you just focused on construction, is it success? Rhetorical question again. Is it success if they spent all the money? Is it success if on snow removal if they underspent their budget? See, if you focus on just the activities that go in, you can move yourself to that kind of a conversation versus how did construction spend help improve the safe movement of people and goods, statewide access connectivity, and access to exploration. Okay, snow removal the same way. How did that help us improve the safe movement of people? Do you see the difference in the conversation based on where you focus? Okay. Now, what's important to measure? So once you have a real clear focus on the mission and the outcomes, then what you measure is also very important. A friend of mine once said, many things are measurable, few are meaningful. So it's not about having lots of stuff. It's about measuring the right thing. So the framework helps you get there. And to illustrate, again, the focus here is you want to make sure if you have a jobs training program, rhetorical question, the outcome should be pretty simple, should it not? It should be people getting jobs, if that's what it is. Now, witness, there's a number of activities that go into that. There's a person's case is established, the person's trained, person receives child care assistance, and the person is taught interviewing skills. Those are all really key things. But to what end? And that's it's really important, though, and if you're not careful, you get down to funding these and talking about how well you did on these, and you lose sight of the fact that we did a great job with the person's case being established, a great job with them receiving child care, a great job of the person being taught interview skills, but nobody got a job. So it's really important that the activities, they are necessary, but that those activities align to the result, but don't forget what's important is the result. I say this to folks sometimes. So if you have four programs that you're doing and you do three out of four of them really well, is that good? And the answer is, it depends. The other question is, so if you're focusing on just a person getting a job and more people got jobs, is that a good thing? Would you want to know any further detail? It's a good thing, but could it be getting better? Frankly, when you're in difficult fiscal times, it's really important to know you could be doing a great job with the person getting a job, really placing them, and doing a very poor job on training. Would you want to know that? The answer is yes, because it's an opportunity for improvement. So again, the focus here is you need to focus on the results and the activities. You're going to see an example with DOT PEF as we go forward. Sure. So again,
okay. Thank you. If you can go back to the last slide, I appreciate it. And I appreciate this, and I am one who believes we have a lot to learn. So I'm not being skeptical. I just want to understand it so I can do this. So job training program. Person gets skills so they're employable. But the job market right now, as it turns out, stinks, right? But they're employable, and they're going to get a job, and they're way better off than they were before. So in this simple example, why is person gets a job the right result? I mean, because through things out of anybody's control, person gets a job 6 months from now because the economy was tanked for a while. And I'm only asking, so I know how to not put down 30 different things, yep, too, and so I can put down one.
Through the chair, actually, that's a great question, because what all this tells you is if you do have a jobs training program, you can't forget why you're funding it. It's to get people jobs. Now, there are lots of things that can affect your ability for someone getting a job. And the whole idea is to not lose sight of the fact that you're really setting up this program of a person getting a job. If the economy is going down, you probably do want to look at the next level and see if people aren't getting jobs, how successful are we in the types of things in preparing them and doing that. But if the economy continues to go for a certain period of time and you continue to get fewer and fewer jobs, you folks as investors would probably want to know that, because then it becomes a decision for you, as I would say, as investors. Do you want to continue to invest in life skills, even though the job market is going down, so that they'll be prepared, or is there other things we'd want to do as you go forward? So that's how you – it's not – and you're hitting on – it doesn't say you did necessarily a good or bad job. It just says what happened. And I probably said you was that good or bad. That was just for reaction. But a person getting the job, I mean, I think we all know that there's no real control people have. You can prepare yourself as good as you want, but if there isn't a job, there isn't a job. But then for you folks as investors, it's then to keep your eye on that and say, do we need to adjust the type of skills or understand that this is something that we're doing in a proactive measure so that when the job market does come up, our people are ready. Am I answering your question? Yeah, it's a good question.
Just think another way that I was looking at that and examining Les's question on that, and using myself as an example, I went to college, went 2 years, graduated 4.0 for refrigeration, heating, ventilation, and I went to work as a mechanic. You know, is the state training, we have 5-6 different entities that teach vocational education, between the Department of Labor, the University, Department of Education, DMVA. Why are they still putting out the refrigeration and heating if there's no jobs? If a person took them 6 months to get a job, are we training in the right things?
And all that does, and this is exactly what this is supposed to do, is to stimulate the discussion. Please, Representative.
A question, just kind of along the same lines on the metric that we use is the result. You know, like child care assistance isn't one of the core activities within the Department of Labor. It's within Health and Social Services. So, how do we get around the idea that? Of course, you got like a metric for corrections is recidivism rate, and we know that that's, I don't know, 33% come back to jail within the next 2 years. A lot of them are because they just don't have health care that they can get in the jail system. So how do we do it when it's meshing together several agencies trying to get up with the same outcome or result?
Yeah, through the chair. This highlights that point for you folks. And why, you know, when you're focused on the results themselves at your level, you probably are going to be flowing through multiple agencies. I mean, when Hess did this, what they found out is they had multiple divisions, but some real core outcomes. It took a consolidated effort of a number of them to get it done. And so at your investor level, I think, for instance, if you look at this and you say, okay, if it's a person getting a job, which agency has the lead? And again, I'm just saying as an example. And then if these are the key activities that you agree to, which agencies contribute to those? And then who do we want to hold accountable for the outcome? And is that outcome they get the job or that they have life skills? Again, but someone has to be in charge of actually carrying that forward. And my experience, I've been doing this now about 30 years, 10 on the executive side and 20 as a consultant. At the level you folks are operating at, it's rare that, or it's not uncommon to have multiple agencies contributing to an outcome. Not uncommon. Therefore, it becomes important for you folks to understand what that, and we're going to show a couple of examples here, I think, that will help maybe illustrate that.
Representative Kawasaki.
Thanks. That's good.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So how far down the weeds do we go? Okay, so I have the university budget, and to me, we should be measuring by graduates, because that's what we have, is whether or not, you know, they have a high graduation. Now, we could say their graduation is low. Is it us as legislators that should be going down into all the different reasons why they may not be graduating? Or if we're basing their funding on the graduation level, and that's kind of what their own internal pressure is there a reason for us to go further down into those activities?
Through the chair, I strongly counsel investors that have a big organization like yourselves to stay as high as you can, ask the questions, to have them come back. And it's right for you to ask the question if you're not getting the result, and then them to come back and explain why until you're satisfied. And if you don't get satisfied, then I think you drop down. But I would encourage you not to try and solve it yourselves. Have them come back and explain the why. And it may be that you may have a disagreement on what success was.
Follow up?
Representative Wilson.
Okay, so why do I care? I mean, because, I mean, eventually, if we have a system, and whether it's we're talking K-12 or the university or the Department of Labor, if our mission is whether it's the person to get a job, a person to get a degree, a person to get a diploma, and we base and we do the math and figure out what it takes to have all the right pieces in, and say it's $5,000 for any one of the three. And I made sure you, last year you got this much, and that's how much money I'm going to get, and you're lower the next year, and I lower the funding. Isn't it then back to you? You know how you can get more from that because you know what the goal is versus. I mean, it just seems to me that if we want to stay on the 10,000 foot level, then we got to know what the goal is. So if I believe that graduation is your duty to do, I know what amount of money it should take to do that. But it's not for me to realize next year maybe you only got 20% instead of 30% graduation. You're going to pretty much know you're going to have less funding or have to go out for other funding to do it until you figure out why you're not getting there. Because, again, these are big agencies, and it's hard for us to go down financially and figure out, you know, what else happened. And I think that's where we end up in our subcommittees getting in trouble is when we start getting down into those weeds and we kind of start micromanaging versus setting an attainable goal for the – whatever department it is, and being consistent on that so that next year they know what the questions are going to be, they know what they're going to have to show, and it just seems like it makes more sense.
Yeah, through the chair, I agree with that. Now, we're going to go through a couple of examples of levels and layers, but I wanted to make sure we address that. But what you're just describing, stay at the top, you're investors, you agree to the results you're going to get, and then the agencies should come back or in a – if it's not going the right way in an interim, come and talk to you in some way. Again, my perspective on doing this, and have that dialogue that Pete talked about, and not just a surprise at the end. They are the experts in doing it. And so you're the investors. You should let them do their job. And if you don't agree, then have the conversation. Yeah. Thank you. All right. Let's just quickly go through this. For illustrative purposes, this is also each agency was asked to put this together. So these, I just pulled these off yesterday, off of OMB's. So each agency has these, and so you can just take a look at these real quickly. Ensure sustainable and harvestable supplies of fish and wildlife resources. Good result. Foster responsible commercial development. The fourth one there, provide access to state lands for public, private use, settlement, and recreation. And then I just want to draw your attention to the last two, which is strengthen Alaska families and protect vulnerable Alaskans. Those are up there because they're short, and they very quickly bring into focus what they're trying to do. And so just for illustrative purposes, long sentences tend not to bring focus. Very short, concise, without leaving something out, by the way, very quickly gets you to what the issue is. So strengthen Alaska families. Now you can define it. Now you can put the programs that will define it, and now you can have the discussion about what level of performance you're expecting to get. Okay, so you have your mission, you know, have your core services. Now you get into measurement. And sequencing is important in here, else you're going to have a flock of measures, and you'll flock shoot. I hunt. I don't know if anybody does up here, but if you flock shoot, you just get lucky. You don't really kill stuff. If you have to pick something out in order to get it. And I have a wonderful picture of a Boone and Crocker goose I got. I'll show anybody. Bigger than my lab afterwards. No charge for that, by the way. But once you get the focus on what's important and agreement on that, then you measure. And measurement really has added two fundamental elements. There's efficiency and effectiveness. Efficiency are your cost indicators. What does it cost you to deliver those services? And that's contrasted against and the quality of the services that are provided. You're going to see some really good examples here of how the DOT actually identified this. So when you look, it's cost per unit delivered, cost per student, cost per client, cost per bed. Put it in there. It's that kind of an indicator. And it's a comparative number you use to compare how well you're doing with total cost. You just oppose that against how timely was the service, how accurate was the service, did you do what you said to do, kind of the planning element. And those kind of become the balances around which then you are looking at how is the organization performing. And to illustrate that, let's take a construction academy. Okay? A construction academy fundamentally was set up because there was a need to have, what do you think, construction workers for the industry. Okay, so again, this one, the simplification of the mission makes it very important. Okay, so if it's a construction academy and we set it up because we need to have more people, more qualified people to do construction, then if we know that is the mission, then the measures fall out pretty easy. The efficiency is, what does it cost per client or student that gets a job? And you juxtapose that against the average time it takes to get a job and the post-grad employed in the construction field. Now, that is not a complete set, but those three things would give you a sense, if you're looking at those on a quarterly basis, are you moving in the right direction? Are you moving in the right direction? Okay. So just to illustrate that it's not a whole bunch of them, it's having the right ones. These, by the way, you also have to have conversation with the agency about. Because it's, you also, not only do you have to have agreement on the mission, the core services, and their direct services, but then how are you going to measure success? That and then that sets the framework for going forward.
Go ahead. Representative Garrett.
Thanks. I'm still stuck. So I want to be able to, I mean, the best thing for us would be to have you around the whole 180 days of session that we have coming up. But
go ahead.
Is that a question?
No, I'm working on it. So we can understand how to do this when you're not here.
Yeah.
I look at this. You've got a young woman who doesn't have any great job experience trying to get her into the workforce. She goes through the construction academy. She learns work ethic. She learns how to work hard. She develops some skills, and she gets a job on the North Slope not doing construction. But it only happened because she buckled down and learned all the stuff during the construction academy. But she's not going to be counted in the successful results. But she is a successful result. So, again, it's probably similar to the last question, but why is that not? Why would we not count that in the result? Like, why would we only count construction jobs instead of jobs?
Through the chair, I mean, and because that was the way this group chose to define success. You could easily change that and just take out in construction. I mean, so that's the importance of the definition and agreement with the agency, because it may be just what you're saying. If the real focus, you want to make sure that people are employable and going through this, and even if they don't get one, then I would just take the in construction in parentheses out.
Okay, so you weren't saying that's the way it should be done.
No,
you were saying
this is
that's
just
the way
an example.
Yeah, yeah.
And it brings forward, for these folks, they were really clear, though. They were doing this construction academy to facilitate the construction industry getting people in. So that was why this one was set up. So, again, it's the mission. If it was, you could, again, that's your discussion about do you want to broaden it out. Or you can look at a couple of measures on this one. You could look at both. What does it cost for a student that gets a job, and what's the subset of that get it in construction?
One other question, Mr. Chair.
Follow up, Representative Garrett.
Yeah. So I get that. Thank you. And then, but also what I hear from agencies, and then give me an idea here. When I speak to agencies about them measuring, like the Office of Children's Services, for years I asked them what's the high school graduation rate so we can see if things are getting better, if things are bad, how bad they are. And for a long time, they didn't even know that. But they told me with the staff we have, we're going to have to take staff away from kids to do the data compilation. And so we've got a $3.5 billion budget deficit. It's not going to get better if we don't do this, but on the other hand, we've got to yank people away from direct jobs to do the data compilation, right? I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, through the chair, I personally did this inside of government, and we did this with the entire state of Oregon. And our direction was no net increase in administrative cost. What we also were given by our investors is the ability to come back and say, we need to have this relief from these kind of reporting things so that we can put towards this. So I think this is very much an opportunity for you folks to have that. If they think it takes more and can't do it with what they've currently got, let them come back to you and you give them relief to do something like this. But it should not be an increase, and it shouldn't be to take away from direct service. Am I answering the question?
Yeah, I mean, assuming there are those things you can take them away from, which maybe there are. Yeah.
Sure. Representative Edgman.
Yeah, I read recently that as a rule of thumb, in any organization, the military probably included as well, that there's at least 20% to 30% of waste within that organization. So I'd like to see your response to whether you support something like that, and if it might even be a higher number in government.
So through the chair and a risk of flaming my career right now. No, I'm not familiar with that study, but I can tell you 10% is not an unreasonable number, maybe even a little higher from that. Government does a lot of just processing. It does. Some of it is self-inflicted. Some of it is told by other people. What it takes to set something like this up is a very small amount to actually do something like this. It's not a whole bunch of people. And what I would say is a lot of the raw data that makes up these indicators already is being gathered. It's already being gathered. So it's just putting it in a different construct.
Can I follow up, Mr. Chief?
Follow up, Representative Edgman.
Well, so would this process be advisable for the legislature to employ in terms of some tough budget cuts that we're going to have to make, rising above the 14 or so agencies and everything else? Just from a methodology standpoint, would this be something that the legislature might want to undertake, some kind of a structured process that helps us, you know, gets us back to the Constitution and the core values and everything, and then we start to we use those tenets, if you will, to make some pretty tough decisions?
Yeah, through the chair, I would say yes. I mean, starting with emissions, the advantage you have is you only have 16, I think, agencies and then boards and commissions, and you've only been around 57 years, 56 years. I've worked on the East Coast where they've been in business, I put that in quotes, 200 years. They don't even know where to find enabling legislation. So I think you can deploy this methodology. I mean, I think Pete said between the DOT and Hess, it's about $4 billion. I think the DOT has 4, Hess has 7 core services. If you look at the entire state, again, I'm just doing this off the top of my head, you might have 25 or so. That's not too many to have a framework to take a look at, in my opinion. Am I answering your question, Representative?
Well, you are, and a smile's coming to my face because it just would seem to serve them that if we're not using this process, by cutting the budget, we're doing it in a pretty random manner.
I'm not sure that's a question.
Representative Guttenberg.
Well, it's more of a statement. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think in programs, and this is a good example, like this, you have nuances. The Construction Academy is not designed to get people jobs in construction. It's designed to get people to figure out if they want to be in construction. So the number of people graduate who want to be in construction is different, and then they get a job, is different from the number of people who graduate. And then, for example, in the dental hygienist school in Fairbanks, in the what used to be the community colleges, when the instructor knows something, you don't need a certificate. You need to be competent. When the instructor knows somebody's ready, they just call a dental office, and off they go for a job. They never graduate, but they have the job at that level. So figuring out some way to nuance the effectiveness, and that also comes up to another issue. of the number of people that come in who are actually competent at the end of the course that the instructor would want to recommend. I mean, if you got five people in a welding course 1 year and the instructor, they get certified, the instructor sends them out, contacts people and say, these guys are great. The next year he's got five people that graduate. They go, you know, you might not want them, but they graduated, they're certified, but they can't get a job because of other issues they're involved in. So sometimes you have the nuances of what we're doing here play a big part of influencing the numbers, and they have to be nuanced to reflect actually what's happening.
Yeah, I witness the reason we're having this conversation is three measures and a very clear mission. And what we're doing is we quickly got to a conversation about, but is success that actually they're employable, or success that that they find out that once you have that conversation, now you've just defined it. Now you create the measures that will tell you that, and now everyone is marching to the same direction, which is why that conversation is so important before you just give money, because otherwise, you know, you may be thinking it's one thing, and they may be thinking it's another, and you're both frustrated when you come back and talk about it. No, great, great point.
Representative Gaddis.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And the point that you just spoke up was the one I was going to bring up. Certainly there are times that we as citizens have walked into government state offices, and it's interesting because they have this feeling that because they, certainly not all of them, don't get me wrong, but I'm trying to not discuss a particular one that I've had recent experience with, but that if they weren't there, you wouldn't have the positive experience, but you didn't do anything for me. So I guess my point is we both have different expectations what that agency should or could be doing. And again, it circles back around to even if the employees understand what their role is. So, you know, if your role is just to exist or just show up and turn the lights on, you haven't helped me. But you literally think by being there, answering a phone, sending a phone message on. So it's interesting that different people, if they're all on the same page, understanding what their role is and what their end mission is. And I think sometimes there's a disconnect. And so I think this is a great conversation to have, and it's great for employees to know that they're all on the same page. So I think that it's just more than just the investors.
Yeah, well, if I can through the chairs, right on. And this is, the alignment piece is probably, in my mind, the most important thing going forward in government, because back to I have seen efficiency. If you don't measure anything, but just get agencies, everyone pulling to the same mission, 10 to 15%. I've seen that, and those are pretty good numbers. And then when you start measuring it, it moves it forward. So, and I think the commissioner will have some powerful things to share actually about that employee understanding and alignment. Boy, this is great. Keep going?
Please.
Okay. And we've talked through some of this. So now we're not talking about important to measure, but there's, and Representative Wilson brought up, there are different levels to measure. Okay, there's the mission, core service, and program. And just on the slide, the point I want to make here is there's a left-hand and a right-hand side to this slide. And if you notice the arrows, they are one-directional. That's purposeful. The mission should drive the core services, which should drive the programs that are delivered. And you folks as an investor should stay in the mission core service level when you're making your investment decision. Because the programmatic, that's actually the delivering of it, and that's what you hire them to do. Well, you come over to the right-hand side, and you can see these lists. You see this is measuring the contribution, and the arrows go up. Because if you have aligned correctly on the left-hand side, knowing that the things you're doing are aligned with your mission, then the measures should be validating the contribution that those programs are making to the mission. Witness the jobs discussion that we just had. And you could have four activities that are being done, one of them not being done well. You'd want to take a look at that. Again, you folks should be staying, my opinion, should be staying the mission core service level. The other thing is the frequency of measurement. And I hit this just this one time here. It does tie directly to the type of work that's being done and the window of decision-making based on the data. The window of decision-making based on the data. You folks come in once a year. That's at a high level. You need to have data that's appropriate for your level to make the next year's investment decisions. The programmatic measure, those measures you tend to look at on a monthly or maybe even a semi-weekly basis, you wouldn't want to be engaged in that because then you're doing someone else's job. You can't be an investor. You're a micromanager.
Okay. On that, it's my sense that we need to be looking at programs because we're looking at budgets. You know, we can look at numbers, but it comes down to the bottom line. Do you want to fund that program or do you not want to fund that program? You can't fund a program halfway. It's going to be inefficient. Shouldn't we be looking at why would we not want to look at programs in that fashion? Or are you saying this in a different sense?
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. This is in a different context. I'm going to get to a couple examples to that because what you will see, I agree with your last statement, is you don't want to partially fund a program because then you just have a whole bunch of not very good going on as opposed to really getting anything done. You have people just really trying to cover the office as opposed to really focusing and getting anything done. This is trying to say there's really three levels, and in this context, program means frontline services, not, I think, programmatic budgeting like you folks have it.
Okay. Representative Wilson.
So kind of on that same, thank you, Mr. Chair. So we're not funding programs at all. I mean, we are actually funding the core services that gives us the results that we're looking for. How that department chooses what programs gets them to the measurement in which that we're willing to fund is their decision, back to not getting into the weeds in what you're just basically talking about, this portion.
Yeah, and we'll use DOT as an example to illustrate that, and I think it'll validate the point there. Okay. So an example of just kind of how this alignment works. So I was fortunate; I was able to work with actually the city of Las Vegas. Actually worked there. With them, and we work with their fire department. And this is just for illustration purpose, but I think it really brings things home. If you know of or have been around firefighters, but really, there's really two core missions, and that is minimize loss of life and loss of property. And that's really what it is. And there is a six-minute magic window around which a whole bunch of stuff happens. And so at the department level, they really had two measures, which was lives lost to fire and estimated dollar value of loss due to fire, which is really the two primary things. If you drop down to the core service level, percent of calls responded to within 6 minutes and percent of fires contained within room of origin. What I learned is that those two directly tie to the top two. Because what they found out is if they can contain a fire to the room of origin, again, I'm not an expert, but I was told this by firefighters, if you can contain this to the room of origin, the resultant loss to life and property is almost a factor of 10. And you can appreciate, once it hits the ductwork and gets everything else, it's just absolute destruction. And that there's a six-minute window around which, when they're notified, they've determined they have the highest likelihood of containing it in the room of origin and actually minimizing loss of life. And then you go down to the programmatic level, and this is, I think, Representative Wilson's point. This is the maintenance, the average maintenance cost per truck. They look at this, and the reason why they do is because when the bell rings, they want the truck to what? Go. And they want it to be fully stocked. They want it to be ready. The average time for fire truck response, they measure this in seconds, how quickly that is. And then average time for containment once on site, they also measure that in seconds. So what you can see here is the measures that, like, a fire station works at is the programmatic level. So this maybe is getting Representative Newman at kind of the definitional. The core service level is they're looking at all the fire stations across the city, and then the department level is lives lost to fire. So you can see the different levels and who manages it what. And let's take – this is actually what the DOT is beginning to deploy. Their mission is to keep Alaska moving through services and infrastructure. And these are actual measures that they're bringing online. And the A, B, and C at the core service and programmatic level do correspond to one another. So if you can see on core service, under the core service C, number of miles meeting goals and target versus total miles, and then you look at C on the program redos versus total budget. By the way, I appreciate anyone that is willing to say something like this, which is, you know, we don't always get it right the first time. If you plan to do a certain amount of work and you only have so much money, if you make a mistake, it will keep you from accomplishing that plan. These measures, you see, so that's how they contribute to one another and so forth with the others. All right, this violates every single presentation document I was ever taught, but we're doing this purposely to let you know that this is real. These have actually gone online in the DOT, and this is just one of four core services that they have. And this is maintenance, and you have that in front of you. What I want to, I think, point out is on the left, the column, the first column on your left, if you look down that, what they have in that is they actually have core and then direct service under that. So you can see they have service maintenance and then two direct services under that, routine maintenance and incident response. And so they are, through this, they have actually gone through and said, when we talk about service maintenance, when we're talking about you, it's composed of these two things, routine maintenance and incident response. And then if you can see across, as you go across the page to the right, they have four columns. They have conformance to plan, timeliness, accuracy, and cost. And so for each one of those services, they're saying we're going to measure, did we do what we said, conformance to plan? Did we do it when we said we were going to do it, which is timeliness? Did we do it right, which is accuracy? And how much did it cost us to do it? And so for each one of those services, they're measuring these things. Okay. There's no way you'd read this, so we'll move very quickly through it, just trying to just show you there's actually stuff here. They have four core services, and each one of those had that kind of a matrix. Now, what they have chosen to do, and I believe, Commissioner, I didn't ask you this, and so I hope the answer is yes. They actually put together a tool that they are using to accomplish what I'm going to show you next. I'm sure they'd make that available to other agencies if they wanted to do it. So what they have done is they have said, all right, we have a certain set of measures across the department. And they brought in, they did it across pollination of different regional folks to get the buy-in on these measures, that these are the right ones. But then they said, what we're going to do is, these are great for the department, but we want to actually take this down to an actual work team. But we need to have some consistency, because regardless of where you are in the DOT, if you're doing snow removal, there's a certain expectation of how that would be done. Does that make sense? If you're doing routine maintenance. And so what they said was, given that then, they identified the services, and what a work team does is they take this, and you can barely see these little X's here. And for those of you that are looking at this from gavel to gavel, I'm trying to circle these little X's. This is where a work team actually looked at, and they said, for our work team, we actually do these services. Okay, so they identified those are services that they were doing. Once they identified that, then what this next slide showed is then the measures that had been developed that are consistent across the state then actually it populated their performance matrix for that work team. So for this work team, what they do, you can see the services that they're doing, which is they do snow and ice removal, and exactly what they're doing as it relates to that, avalanche mitigation. So there's no question for this work group, not only what they do, how they're going to measure it, and how it aligns. Does that make sense? So it's powerful. So each work team, now what they do is they get a hold of this, and then they go through with their team and say, we do these things, and then it generates their performance matrix. And they're bringing this online. I want to say they're bringing this online now. They'll probably have good measurement data, I'd say, 6 to 9 months from now. Some they might even have at the high level going into the session here, but that's the tool they put together. I think it's elegant in its simplicity. And what it does is it brings consistency to what's important, what's going to be measured, focus, alignment. And the main thing on this that I've appreciated with this department is they're focusing on improving things, not keeping score. Whatever it is we're doing, I think I heard the commissioner say, whatever we're doing, let's just do it better, as long as it's the right thing. So that's something, again, I'll talk more a little about that on Saturday. And this is something probably you saw that we presented with Hess, which is the budgeting. So, again, the DOT really focused on the measurement infrastructure and getting that in place. Hess is starting on that process. They put the focus on the budget. The DOT now, though, they are actually embarking on this. And the thing about this slide that I really like, and it's becoming to be a framework that the agencies are using, there's four core services for the $1.2 billion or something like that. And then what you see, the little teardrops, those are all their divisions. And underneath that, you can see which core services they contribute to. So it just shows kind of a service topology of how they do what.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Gaddis.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I'm trying to think of this like a business, and if I look at, you know, like look at timeliness, who gets to choose what timeliness, or who gets to choose that the customer was served, if you will?
Yeah. So the oh, I'm sorry.
I'm listening.
You're wired.
Hi, I'm ready.
Through the chair. When this gets put together, the agency should sit with you, and you should look at the measures, and you should agree on what those measures are, and you should agree on what that definition is, so that there's clarity around that. Well, I can tell you what they did is they brought their folks together, a cross-section of folks, and said for striping, what is going to be not applicable? Wrong one. For avalanche mitigation, what would be a measure of timeliness? And they developed that.
So, Mr. Chair, you know, I don't want to
go over in an avalanche.
I don't want to get into this conversation right now necessarily, but snow plowing, Glen Highway, big thing. I would say if we looked at and we asked our constituents, our customers, it would be interesting that the grade that they would give. And this, I'm not trying to, you know, be political at this time, but I think the department and our customers have a different idea of whether we've done a job and a timely job. And so what I'm really using that is just an example. So when the department makes that determination, I'm not sure our customers necessarily agree. So how do we include our customers in there, the people that we serve, as part of that determination? Could we do better? Where have we had our weaknesses, where our strengths, so on?
Yeah, through the chair, I was Deputy Commissioner DOT in Oregon, so this is very and had this very same set of issues. There's really two things. One, you folks are the ones that are in the investors, and you are the ones that should sign off on the measures. So if you want to have public involvement in doing that, then that's your purview. I think when it comes to the agency, they have to execute, and then they have to be performing as best they can given the dollars that they got. And that's the second thing. What you got to be careful about is being realistic, and I'm not saying this for the defense of the DOT, but of all agencies. The narrative out there is with the fiscal crisis you've got, that people are going to tank on the services they deliver, and when you're delivering less for less, possibly, then you could set an expectation. We think it should be this, that is so unrealistic to the funding that goes with it. So I think that's just the thing. As you look at that, you need to take into consideration. But it's your purview. I mean, we are working with our nation's capital, and 3 days before we were presenting some performance information, we're asked, what did the citizens think? I said, well, I don't know. And the person said, find out. And so we did we went and got that information. I would just say those just have to be done very thoughtfully, because perception of service versus what it really is, those also aren't necessarily the same thing. Because I could have my perception of a service based on one instance that was bad, and 99% of the time it was good. So having the measures that allow you to have all of that data, I think, is really important.
But let's look at this over how else do you measure this without comparing it amongst itself. So I'm sitting here trying to think of a definition of result, and a definition of result in my just thinking it through here a little bit is the action that you take, you know, it's the result of actions that you take. I mean, that's the result. So how do we know if they're plowing the snow on time with the amount of money that they get for winter maintenance? Now, I guess we go back and look at accidents, but how do we do that without looking at least a 5 or 6 year average or even a 10 year average? This is how much they spent on road maintenance, winter maintenance. Here's how many miles they've had. Here's how many accidents they've had. Unless I have the ability to look at that, how else do I measure results?
Mr. Chair, I mean, that's why these are always late to the party, is because that is the question. What is the actual appropriate measure? And I just say you need to start and need to look at that, because right now you're funding them for not just the DOT, all agencies. You're funding them at a lot of money. You're now moving into, but we really do want to know, not just anecdotally. We want to know. I think just start measuring and taking a look at that, and you can look at that and say, do we agree that that's an acceptable, until you get those trends. But I would not let anyone say, you know, until we get 5 years of data, this isn't worth anything. I don't agree with that at all.
But Craig, who knows what's going to be sitting in the seats next year, right? So unless we've got some data that you're established, you know, on here's the measurement. The Alaska State Legislature funded DOT, maintenance, central, snow removal, winter snow removal, maintenance budget at $10 million. 20 accidents a year, 3 fatal. Now we fund it at $30 million. Doesn't get any better. Well, our results for more money putting in really hadn't mattered there. I'm just trying to figure out, in what we're seeing here with results-based budgeting, we don't see a matrix on how we can measure that based on performance. And the performance can only be based on what you've done.
Okay. If I can, Mr. Chair, let me try and address that.
How do we measure results unless you can compare it to what you've done, what you've invested, and whether it's gotten better or less?
That's really clear. Thank you. Measuring performance is one thing. Comparing it to something else and seeing how well you did is another. So just
– No, comparing it to itself.
Yeah, the trend, right? The trend, how it's been doing. And that can take some time. But within 3 quarters, you don't need a ton of data points. But probably, for instance, if we talk about transportation, there's seasonal things that they do. You could probably look at 2 or 3 seasons of that type of activity and get a sense of a trend. I do understand the whole budget for snow because get a measure that takes into account a heavy snow, a light snow, a weird freeze. I mean, so be careful. These don't stand by themselves. They just tell you what happened, and then you go, well, God, this doesn't seem right because we put 10 more million into snow plowing and the accidents stayed the same. What happened? That's when you have the dialogue, and you look to see, does the explanation make sense? Was it a worse winter? Was it this? Was it that? So at the risk of trying to measure, this is where people move into measuring 50, 100 different things, and then it's meaningless because there's really no focus to it.
But it's meaningless if you don't record your data, if you're not aware of the levers you pulled and the cause and effect.
I completely agree.
That's what I'd like to try and get developed is a matrix that allows us to look at this, because I don't know who's going to be sitting here. Nobody does. You know, how do they know the decisions that I made without having to start all over?
Got it. Okay, so if I can, Mr. Chair. So going back to the maintenance, this is a great conversation. Going back to this, so in a year, let me go forward to this one. In a year, there's going to be, for this agency, there'll be 4 core service matrices that will have data in it. It will. You'll know what I'm kind of committed to you, but there'll be some data of some kind, and you'll know how much money, I'm going to show you, you're going to know how much money went into it. So at least you will have a starting point, and you will have data in there. You don't just say, this is what we're going to measure. You got to go do it. And you're not done when you just, this is now, then you have to start gathering it and reporting on it, which that process is begin at the DOT and has begun actually at Hess.
I think that's a large problem that we face. Well, look at frontline social workers for foster kids, Representative Guerra's issue. You know, we funded money for 15 new frontline social workers. We put some more money into data, a few more computers because they have to have the equipment to do the job. How do we know that? You know, we can look and see if they're more or less foster kids. I think the piece that I'm not seeing in all this is how do we measure against the inputs and outputs? I'm not seeing how we get that. And unless we come up with something that we have the department specifically do that us as legislators can agree on that we can see and analyze as citizens-based legislators at that, I don't know how we could ever measure it. Or else it just has to be some kind of trust thing between the departments. I can see where this behooves the department, but I'm trying to see where it helps us as far as, you know, approving their funding.
So if I'm understanding, Mr. Co-Chair, is that as departments put this together, you have the discussion with them about the alignment and that the measures and that makes sense, and I would ask them, do you have any data? So you could look at that, and then you agree on a certain level of funding, then you've set the the framework in place for the next legislature to hold them accountable, which is these are the measures around which you agree they're going to measure success. This was about the level that you thought they should be accomplishing, and here's how much money. And so whoever would come, and so the next year when they come back in, that framework with that data, the expectation is that would be there.
Okay. Representative Wilson.
I probably should have used that for an example because I think there's everybody at this table has a strong opinion, but choosing the Office of Children's Services and trying not to get back into the weeds, although we probably do as we are doing this for constituents, we get on a different level versus where we are when we're looking budgeting-wise. And so, you know, the measurement on something when you're talking about whether it's children or health care, those types of things that have so many more intricate parts. And just like this one has, you've got the public defenders and the courts and the guardians ad litem, you got, like you said, more than one department that affects the outcome. So I think what makes it difficult for us is that we say, if we do, you know, how many children you put back in the home as your measurement. Well, they have a portion of that that they have impact on. But there's so many of these other things that they really don't. So how do you hold any organization, any part of the organization when they are a small part of basically the program or policy that goes that direction?
Yeah, through the chair, I think that's exactly the policy discussion you all need to have, which is, do you want to continue to invest on itty-bitty pieces spread out a long way, or say, you know what, there's got to be a better way. We're going to look at a different way of putting this together to accomplish this. You don't always reorganize to accomplish results, but my personal experience when I was in government is whenever a new program came on board, we always found a way that transportation supported us so we could get some money. So, I mean, some of that is just historical buildup. and it just needs to – this is, I think, a chance. When you're doing it across a bunch of agencies, we identify that. Our governor in Oregon put someone in charge and said, "This is we want to get this done, so this agency is the lead agency." And then that commissioner got to deal, if there were problems working with the governor, resolved it and carrying it forward. So it does, it will highlight, Representative Wilson, exactly what you're saying, I think.
And a follow-up? So, and again, because you play two parts. You know, we play down here as a budgetarian and doing the funding, and then more back home, the constituents and walking them through whatever agency they're having an issue with. So in that role,
yeah,
you get more into the weeds, into the policy. You pull the policies out, and you see then whether or not that agency is even following their own policies. So when we come here, I mean, we can't keep it separate because we're all fighting for constituents for whatever reason it is, but at the same time trying to go through, you know, your core and making – when you start adding names and situations to all this – and just like we just did on the roads, you know, each one of our roads, how they got taken care of, kind of takes us away from that bigger picture. How do we keep those two things divided off, or can you?
Yeah, through the chair. I mean, you've got a tough job. And I would say I think you need to set your investment framework like we talked about here. And the reality of it is you do have constituents, and that's a legislative process, and you deal with those on an exception basis, probably just like you do now. And then you go into an agency and ask for further detail. But I don't. What creates problems is then when you take that one thing and try and extrapolate it to, and it's got to be a problem everywhere, as opposed to backing up and saying, was that an aberration? Was that just a bit? Because the data overall is looking like they're doing really well, so what's the disconnect here? That's the value of having the bigger framework, is then even though you do need to do your diligence on a single case, you also have the backdrop of knowing overall, though, the agency seems to be doing well based on these broader indicators. So where's the disconnect? That's a very different conversation than just saying, you know, this is the one thing I've got. I have no other data. You know, they must be goofing off the whole time.
And a follow-up. So let's say the agency is just broken. I mean, let's say we go through your whole portion of it, and for whatever reason, it just isn't working. Is that where you start having maybe the discussion of privatization or another organization coming with it? I mean, because everything doesn't always work the way you think they do. How long before you have discussions of, I could put a group together, I could do that, maybe it's even been done before, and it just can't be fixed in the group it is. Is that somewhere along this line that you have those talks of maybe within government is not where it belongs?
Yeah, I think if this, if I can, through the chair, if every department in Alaska State Government has this operational, then you can pull this off, because then you really have the total picture you can look at. We don't have the time for me to speak to the whole what are how you solve problems at this juncture. You have lots of mechanisms that you can deploy. This is just really setting up a discussion and an accountability framework that then leads you into those discussions.
So I guess my question really was, so if the accountability isn't working, because it isn't a department that we have done this with, and although it says who's supposed to do what, it's still not working because they're not following their own process and procedures necessarily, and we can all argue about why it is and isn't working. But then that would bring us to the point of what are our other options, because it's still, we still may be mandated to take care of that issue. It's just where else maybe it could be done. Is that what just kind of leads to as we look at the missions and the majors and finally see the majors aren't being accomplished, and maybe you've tried several years and are still not accomplished, then that's kind of what makes that next discussion happen?
If I, through the chair, Representative Wilson, I mean, yeah, you're the investors. If you're not getting the return, you need to start asking, you know, everyone knows the definition of insanity is, you know, doing the same thing over and expecting a different result. So if you don't change something, why would it change? Okay, great questions. All right, I'm going to, because we want to hear from the commissioner here. All right, this just shows you the utility of this. So this is now, this was the department. Now we're just going to take one region, okay? We're just going to take one, just for illustrative purposes. And this is the northern region, so that's that whole Fairbanks area up there. And what you'll notice here is we have the flaming candles of service. And there's four core services here, and you can see the color coding. And then those candles are, those are their operating divisions in within that region. And the colors just show the contribution that it's making to the different core services, so you can look and see which divisions are contributing what way. And what you cannot see in the candle itself, the colored terminology, those are actually the direct services. It's not all of them, but it's the direct services that are being done within that core service. So if we take candle wick number one, we can see red contributes to core service one, two, three and four. You look down here, they have representative here at least the specific things that are being done under design that relate to expand Alaska's transit infrastructure. There's three of them, and then on the maintain, and they didn't have time to list the others. But it just allows you to see then within this division, how is it contributing? This is where the dance gets fun. I said that out loud. So now this allows you to then to see, if you look at the overall budget in that region, $106 million or something like that, across the core services, how that is being allocated across. And then you can further drop down and see the contribution of those divisions and what percentage that is. This, in my mind, is the power for you folks to actually start doing some what-if scenarios. Because you can look at this and say, okay, we do need to do a reduction. So if we do a reduction, close your ears, Commissioner, if we do a reduction in operate Alaska's transit infrastructure, if we cut that in half up there, what would be the impact? Well, you can look, just looking at those percentages dropping down underneath that, and if I would quickly jump to 78% of this is being done by the highways and aviation. Jump right down and look and see that the services they provide are illumination signals, snow and ice maintenance, service maintenance, bridge maintenance. Wow. All right, I don't know if we really want to affect it that much. Without even looking at measures, that's what this can allow you to do when you get this by division, is it allows you to stay at that level and very quickly just get a service impact. And then you can further say, all right, we don't want to go that much. If we do a 10%, what would it be? And drop down and say, what would be the reduction in illumination in those measures? And you can very quickly track on down through there and start to see some of the impact of the potential cuts that you folks would be dealing with. So I get really excited about it at this juncture, because then it forms a good conversation between you folks, the investors, and those people you're giving the money to, the doers, to see what's going to happen. Okay, I was the only one excited about that. But I really think this can really get going at this juncture. So, all right, and this is the target. This is where the DOT hopes to be. I can't tell you exactly when, but you'll be seeing more about this on Saturday with Hess. But again, it's just a spending topology, so you can very quickly start to see how money flows and the potential effect to a program based on the money. So we're going to be seeing on Saturday some updated to 2017. It's actually going to show their cuts and the impact that have, so you can actually get right down to an actual program. And frankly, this is where you can actually do what-if scenarios real time and look to see the impact. Oh, we don't want to do that. Yeah, we want to do that. And actually, of just financially, to help you all in your deliberations and speed up some of that, give you more opportunity to analyze as opposed to just go fetch a rock and come back and see what happened. So now this has taken, understand, it's taken this department a couple of years to get to this point, Hess, and they are just beginning embarking on the measurement. The DOT put the emphasis on getting the measures going, and they're moving towards the budget. So with that, Commissioner, I haven't left you much time.
That was perfect.
Okay.
So in 15 minutes or less, we'll get through why we chose it, why we chose this this methodology, and then how we've actually employed it to actually get to where we are today as a DOT. So real quickly, you're going to hear me talk about alignment and communication because and Craig's already talked about that. I'm going to talk about how that applies to our department, but we will talk about, you know, how we used RBB to navigate through the $34, almost $35 million unrestricted general fund budget cut that we took for FY16. We're going to also talk about how we used RBA to actually provide a clear framework for preparing our FY17 budget, and then finally, how we're using it to improve how we provide in the context for ongoing department transformation.
And Commissioner, when you're doing that, like I had a question of how you, I imagine you've decided how you're going to measure internally the effectiveness of this. Can you add that into your discussions as you're going on?
Yeah.
And I believe we're scheduled till 3:30, so I don't know.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I actually have a hearing at 3, but okay. I'll go as long as I'll go as long as I need to. So why did we choose RBA? Well, I can tell you the first thing that really hit me was when I saw that last chart that Craig showed in Senate Finance last year, and I said, I want one of those. I recognized that we needed to have a better way to communicate with you, with our investors, how our budget is managed. And so I saw that as a really, really powerful tool. But the other thing that we recognize is that I have a goal, and I've had a goal for quite some time, and that is one DOT. And I'll talk a little bit about one DOT later on in the presentation. But the idea is this was a framework that could allow our organization to align both horizontally and vertically, and become and move us into this transformative process of one DOT. But again, the real challenge for us was the fact that we are facing enormous fiscal challenges as a state, and I just felt it would be irresponsible if we didn't use a framework, me and my leadership team, to look at the best tools that really allow us to ensure that we are going to deliver our mission and clearly communicate how we're going to do that with you, our investors. So as I said, we absorbed a $34.5 million budget cut in 1 year. We used RBA to help us do that. But we also recognize that there's going to be more funding challenges ahead. So we needed a framework to help us look into S17. We were looking for the best tools to ensure that we are delivering on our mission. And as Craig has explained to you, that I think we have found a really good tool to do that with. But it also heightens the importance of us telling our story to you, our investors. We can better explain our funding needs by clearly linking our resources to our core service outcomes, and then by articulating the risk of the resource reductions to those outcomes. Mm-hmm. And then, as Craig has said, we're also measuring, we are measuring mission accomplishment. That's the idea, is we want to use meaningful metrics to enable the right focus. And when I say focus, we're really focusing on the measures that support decision-making, and also focus our team on the outcomes
that we're trying to achieve. It's going to lead to accountability, something that we're going to do on ourselves, but also that you should be able to do to with us. You know, hold us accountable for the funding that you give us and the outcomes that we deliver. Also, we're using it to help us improve. As Craig said, that is, you know, that is the only way that I run an organization, is to be a continually improving organization. So that provides efficiencies, it reduces costs, and it provides Alaskans the best transportation system we possibly can. And then finally, you know, looking for best practices and best, and ultimately the best results we can achieve. And ultimately, posture this organization to be the best performing organization for the future. So how did we use this to navigate? The $34.5 million UGF reduction. Well, we looked at it as an opportunity to catalyze cross-pollinization of ideas. And as Craig said, we held 8 workshops over about a 9-month period, where we brought people in from all over the department that were related to the 4 core services that we identified: operate, maintain, expand, and provide marine transportation services. We recognized that this couldn't be a top-down exercise. It had to come from within the organization. So we engaged almost 200 people in this process. And what it has allowed us to do is begin this process of horizontal alignment, more one DOT, understanding how we all contribute to the mission. It also is beginning to pay dividends in the vertical alignment, because as Craig said, we want every employee to understand what it is they do and how it contributes to the mission through the direct service, to the core service, ultimately to our mission. So you can show up at a maintenance station and say, what do you do? And my hope is that ultimately that operator will say, I keep Alaska moving through service and infrastructure, because they understand what it is that they do and how it contributes to the mission of the department. We use it to prepare. And this was a clear framework that allowed us to prepare for engagement with OMB on the governor's proposed budget. We brought the executive team together, and we were given various scenarios of what that budget might look like for FY17. And we gathered the entire executive team to work through how those scenarios would play out, what things we would actually do to reduce, to meet those budget targets. And at the end of that meeting, we looked at every person in the eye and said, are you on board with this? Can you support this? We needed to have a complete consensus that we were going to be a team going forward to support the budget. The other thing we recognized is, and we took the time to look at our organization, and we recognized that there were some inefficiencies. You know, as Representative Edgren already said, you know, there are inefficiencies in our organizations. We recognized that, and we're looking at ways to reduce those inefficiencies. And one of those that we saw was by looking at how we're organized. So a couple of places that we're actually already starting is with aviation, statewide aviation. This is an example of how we have reorganized that structure. And you can see just by the number of boxes there that we are looking at gaining some efficiencies. We're also looking at centralizing planning. That's going to give us some efficiencies as we go forward with that organizational reorganization.
Can I ask Mr. Co-Chair?
Representative Edgman.
So I counted 14 boxes on the left and 7 boxes on the right, 7 boxes. And I know the Deputy Commissioner and the Commissioner are obviously different positions, but what was the net result of all this? Was there people let go, or were they reassigned in the department, or?
Sure. So I think part of it is, again, it played into absorbing some of the cuts. But what you would see if you looked at, you know, the organizational chart right now, you would see there's probably not a lot of difference in the number of people right now doing the work, but it's really more a reorganization of responsibility, so that we are streamlining decision-making, we're streamlining response times, Those type of things is what where we're seeing efficiencies right now. Do we expect that we might see some reduction in personnel? More than likely. But, you know, we've been doing this for about 4 to 5 months right now, so we haven't gotten to that point. But just from an organizational perspective, you know, we are reducing the you can just see we're reducing the time it takes to get information up and down the chain.
Representative Gaddis.
So I'm sorry, I'm a little bit slower. So was that a yes or a no? Did you take seven people away or just put them somewhere else?
So it's an organizational structure change. We haven't reduced people yet.
Okay, thank you.
Through the chair. And finally, we are looking at how are we using this to improve. And it is providing us a context, as I already said, to within moving us more toward the transformation of One DOT. We're using it to make a transformational and a cultural change. We want RBB, RBA to be part of our DNA. This is just a couple of examples up there of some websites. The first one is the RBA website. It contains all of those matrices that you that Craig showed you in his briefing. It also contains the tool for the work teams to work through to determine what it is that they actually do. And I think that's a really important point because as we have gone through this process, we've begun looking at, you know, where have we experienced mission creep as a department away from our core services, away from those direct services. And that's allowing us to make those decisions now around, is this really part of a core service? Is this really something that DOT should be doing? And we'd love to have those conversations with you.
Thank you, Commissioner. In moving toward One DOT, how does the Marine Highway fit into that vision? And how does this type of budgeting affect the Marine Highway?
Well, through the chair, Representative Munoz, we, you know, as you saw, providing marine transportation service is one of our core services. So we recognize the vast importance of that system to the overall transportation system. How it fits into One DOT is the fact that, you know, our employees, our organization is focused on providing transportation service, transportation facilities to the state, to all Alaskans. And I think that's an important point to make. You know, we're not providing certain modes of transportation. We're providing a transportation system that's available to all Alaskans. And that's how it fits into the One DOT idea. So the second slide is one of the initiatives that have come out of RBA, and this is the idea of everyday lean. So we are actually collecting input from our employees on ideas that they see could help us reduce the cost of doing business. There's a whole stack of them, and I'd be happy to take you through this. It's on our intranet site, but it allows our employees to communicate directly to me on ideas that they believe will actually save us money. A couple of real quick ones. Well, I'll just name one that I really think is applicable, and that is we busted up sand spinners, quite a few of them each year, and those are about $5,000 each. One of our employees designed a guard to put around that, and it's about a $400 piece of metal, and we have the potential of saving $25,000 to $30,000 in per year just from not having to replace sanders.
Go ahead, Commissioner.
So again, these are all ways that we are using this framework to improve as an organization, to align as an organization, and then ultimately to communicate to you. We're developing measures, as Craig said, to look at how we are conforming to plan, how are we doing on timeliness, how are we doing on accuracy, and ultimately cost. We will eventually begin looking at those measures on a quarterly basis at the leadership level. You know, there are leadership level measures, and we hope to actually have that process up and running and smoothly running probably by this time next year. You know, we believe it's going to take about that long to actually determine what measures are meaningful, what measures actually help us make the right decisions. But we are in that process right now, and as Craig said, we've got loads of data. The idea is to find what data is really the important data that's going to help us make decisions.
So, Commissioner, when we looked at this and I first saw it with the Health and Social Services budget, we've got it into DOT. My sense was that I'd like to see this within all departments. Then, as I think Craig said earlier, do it statewide, internally through the departments, put them through this process and measure them against each other. Where you see those different, when you look at different color codings that you use in this, with different departments, are they doing the same thing? You know, this is a way to get through efficiencies. Are you seeing this in your own department now as you develop this? And can you give us any examples where you can start working interagency with what you've developed?
Well, I think one of the things that we've been doing, and that's really kind of the last bullet on here, or one of the last bullets, is the fact that we are engaging with HESS, because there are several lessons that they learned around their budget development that we're using. They're doing the same thing with us on how we've developed our measures. So we're cross-pollinating across department right now. I think as other departments see this and maybe are mandated to pick it up, we'll be certainly be happy to help those departments understand how this framework works and how it could be incorporated into their organization. One of the other initiatives that we're in the process of right now, the intent is that every employee in DOT is exposed to this, and we're working through that. We expect to be done by November of this year, where every employee will have had a chance to work through a RBA workshop, because the idea is we want everybody to understand it, so that when we start asking them to look at measures and determine what measures are most effective to help them do their job, they'll understand what we're talking about. We are going to continue to refine our budget presentation, and as Craig said, that's where we're working with HESS. And ultimately, we're documenting, we're rewarding efficiency and effectiveness. And some of that's through Everyday Lean, other initiatives that we have across the department to identify and recognize folks who are helping us solve this puzzle of our reduced budget. And then finally, you know, we're telling others what we've learned, and you're kind of the first group.
Thanks. You know, you mentioned that you're going to all your employees, and I asked former Commissioner Struer from Health and Social Services, how did this work out for him? What was his experience in this? And he said, you know, he says, I just ran into somebody on the street who recently retired, and he said probably a tool internally in the department that he didn't realize happened is this person came up to me and says, this is the first time somebody actually asked me what I do and why it's important to the department. You know, just as a tool for that employee to start realizing they are part of a system, somebody in administration asked them what they do and how they can make that program better. Mm-hmm. And work internally with the department. And this was just information this guy provided to him on the street. I thought that impressed me quite a bit about these types of programs. Representative Gaddis.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So what comes to mind on that subject, and it's just a suggestion, but, you know, some private businesses, when they're looking at doing things better, certainly go to the folks that have been in the trenches for many years. Look on the outside. Look at the people who have retired. Look at the people that are not afraid to come out now because they're retired. They're not going to get fired. That they know where there are efficiencies. We're a small state. We're related to, you know, we have less than 6 degrees of separation. My husband's recently retired from FedEx, but one of the things that they did is they rewarded employees that made a special piece or something and gave them half of the savings. And they even go outside, and if you can find, I'm not here to be PR for FedEx, but if you can find efficiencies, they'll give you on the outside 50% of the savings. If we can save 50% and somebody else has an incentive to help you, it's a win-win. So, you know, there's a many ways that we can look at that, and we have a lot of folks, a lot of great folks working for the state that, and I'm not sure how the Everyday Lean intranet site, but how we incentivize people to do a better job in departments. But, you know, I'll look forward to future presentations.
No, through the chair.
Pete's been contacting all the former directors and stuff and asking them what their secrets are.
Okay.
So through the chair, I really appreciate you bringing that up because I did want to close on two points. This is based on a couple of leadership principles. The first one is that leaders have more influence than they really recognize and know oftentimes, and we're helping them realize that and exercise that leadership. But number two, and it speaks to what you just got through saying, the people closest to the work more than likely know best where the efficiencies and the effectiveness to make that job better are. And so we are tapping into that. We're tapping into that with Everyday Lean. And I can tell you we've actually gone out to the Western Association of State Highway Transportation Officials, told them about this project, and they've actually given us a grant that we'll actually be able to use to help incentivize this kind of activity. So there's a great example of that. Thank you.
Representative Vaisman?
Yeah, and I think this has been a real good presentation. I can definitely look through the commissioner's eyes and see the usefulness of all this. And I think in the short 5 or 6 months or however long this has been undergoing, you've already shown us results, even if it's at the process level, and the, you know, the outcomes down the road are to emerge down a couple of years or whatnot. But we live in a political environment. We live in an environment where you've got agencies where some employees are classified, some are not. And rural Alaska, where cost of services are a lot higher, the economies of scales are less than they are in the urban areas, and variables of that nature. But to set the stage for my question, can you talk a little bit about some of those challenges that make this theoretical construct maybe a little bit more difficult to put in practice? I'm not saying impossible, but I'm just saying a little bit more challenging to actually make into reality.
The Chair, Representative Edgman, I appreciate that question. And I think probably one of the biggest challenges that we have in our department, but I think maybe for most departments around the state, is the geography of our state, the magnitude of the landmass, and the fact that we have people all over the state, who are in small, oftentimes small maintenance stations, and it's just tough to get that, get the word out to them, communicate to them, and make sure that they do understand, number one, what they do and how it contributes to the mission, and that we appreciate that. But also, I think that's probably one of the biggest challenges that we face is just the magnitude of responsibility, the span of control that we have as a department.
And then if I might back to the Marine Highway System, that's about, I think you're telling me, an electing to get 46% of your general fund, UGF, in your department, right?
Through the chair, I think that number was 46%. I think if we look at what we were budgeted at last year, it's probably considerably lower than that at this point.
So you have, through the chair, you have, and I'm not saying insurmountable, but I'm saying unique challenges, because your charge as an agency is very different than what the Health and Social Services charges. We all know that, recognize it. But you're also an agency that's very largely funded through federal appropriations. Mm-hmm. But you also build things, you design things, you maintain things, you keep things moving. Your personnel costs for the scope of your entire agency as a percentage basis is probably lower than Health and Social Services. So back to the co-chair's point, I, too, find myself sort of struggling a little bit trying to even the playing field amongst all the state agencies as I kind of look comparatively at how we allocate spending sitting around this table and our counterparts down the hallway. Because, if you got a couple agencies that are doing this process and the other 12-line agencies aren't doing it, that kind of sets for an uneven playing field. But it's just it would be very helpful for me, I guess, to be further down the road to have the other agencies engage in this so I could look at this more analytically as opposed to sort of, assuming that this is what happens in the next agency when it happens at DOT, because I saw it on a screen somewhere.
You're right, Representative Vaisman. It's a particularly more complex budgets. DOT is fairly complex because of the funding mechanisms within it and, again, all the different things that they do. I don't even think people realize the public facilities end of the world. The state DOT owns and maintains most of the state buildings, all the state buildings. It's just phenomenal. Mm-hmm. University budget, three budgets. you know, the HES budget, sophisticated budgets like that, and breaking them down so that we can see them, not only us, but the public.
If you'll indulge me, the Senate Finance Subcommittee is waiting for me. So
I don't care if we keep them waiting. That's fine.
I'd like to be excused. If I can pick
go ahead,
up.
Thank you, Commissioner.
If I can, through the chair, the... The question Edmund brought up is a spot on one about the challenges of your state that is geographically challenged, what I witnessed with these folks is they sometimes, because of that geographic difference, not just DOT but pick an agency, people become very insular in their thinking and thinking that this is the only way that I can do it because it's here. When you kind of give those folks and say, you know, what you do is being done in other places, and, oh, this is how they're doing it, that in and of itself opens up opportunity for improvements when they come together. I do believe, as something the commissioner said, that the people that are doing the work are the ones that are in the best position to probably get quick improvements. I have friends that work at FedEx. This is why they measure stuff by the second, is they do believe that the driver out there is the one that really gets it. That's just taking this principle to that level. But the one thing that I think that they have done, I think, is significant, is they've also tried to say, let's be consistent with what we're focusing on, irrespective of where you are, so we can start looking at what does it cost for us to do similar services geographically around the state. So co-chair was saying, is that if you had this, oh, I'm sorry, Representative, you were saying this, if you had this for all the agencies, it might be easier for you to take a look at, but you really do have apples and oranges. And this is just like any investment portfolio, that it's diversified. And so you really can't, and you say we will take a little less return on this because of what we're getting here, but we're going to take more of a risk here. That's what this framework can set up for you folks on a statewide level, is a true investment portfolio for the state. And then where you would make your investments, knowing that you won't always get, you know, stellar return on everything, because that's just not the nature of the business that they do.
Can I make one more comment, Mr. Chairman?
Right, yeah, Representative Ed.
Yeah, you know, and the other thing that I've always sort of, I don't know if craved is the right word, but I always wish were in place was a system that would help us in a very short 90-day session sort of take this information that's carefully put together at the organizational level, a process that allows organizations sort of look internally at its moving parts and then align those in a way that produces those better outcomes. But then it comes to us, and then you get in the political environment, of course, and you can't remove that from democracy. But you can take the process that we have here in the House, for example, with our subcommittees, the 90-day session, what we do in session, out of session, all that. That's another part of the whole puzzle that, to me, seems to be worthy of examination and, something that we probably need to, make a priority on our own. And
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead.
For the record, Pete Eklund, staff to Representative Newman. I just wanted to make a comment or an observation. And now we have two agencies that have taken a deeper dive into the results-based budgeting through, with going through with Craig and doing the self-examination and actually doing the really tough work. Mm-hmm. To go through it and make it alive and make it apply to their agency. All the other in your detailed budget books behind you, the black binders behind you, all the other agencies, even though they haven't done the deep dive with Craig, they all have core services lined out. They all have the measures that have results that are lined out. They haven't done the deep dive with Craig, and they haven't realized the internal benefits that I think DOT is realizing now and that HES has realized. Because results-based budgeting, when these two agencies have went through it, I think it's had benefits at the agency level and the department level, and it's had benefits in the interaction between you guys, the finance committee, and them. And it seems internally, when they've taken that deep dive, it's given them their management structure. It's helped them address some of the, you know, everybody hears the bad parts about government, about the silos, the inefficiencies. You know, they don't talk to each other. I think the deep dives, if you talk to DOT and even at Hess, it's helped them break down silos because they now know what their mission or their core service is trying to accomplish X. And they within the department, they're working better to accomplish those missions, and they're being more – they're making alive the words effectiveness and efficiencies. They're accomplishing those things. And so those are the internal benefits. And then the benefits between the finance committee and the departments, I think, is – the investor mentality, and I think that serves Alaskans well. When you guys view the dollars you're appropriating as investments into agencies and you're going to hold them accountable, that's a different dynamic than we've normally had. And so even though they're the only two agencies that have done the deep dive, like I said, in the detailed budget books, there's the core services lined out, there's their missions, there's the results information that is there. So you can still have those conversations. And this concept isn't a silver bullet here or anywhere. It's just another tool you guys can use when you're evaluating the programs, the larger, not the service level programs, but the core service / programs. Mm-hmm. It just helps you guys evaluate what we can afford to do and what we can, even though they might be good programs, maybe we can't do them anymore. And so it just helps that conversation, but it's not a silver bullet.
All right. And Greg?
Quickly recapping that the and Pete kind of hit this, and I want to underscore that. At least there is a starting point for all of your committees. There is. So it's not like you're just starting from scratch. It may not have the level of detail that a Hess and a DOT will, but at least there's something there that you can start from. So that versus where you were maybe 3 years ago, where there wasn't much. So you at least have something to start with. But these are the kinds of things investors of the public's money, from my opinion, should be asking. What's your mission? And if you don't agree, stop. I think you've seen, you know, really good performing programs that don't align with the mission create a lot of problems. Secondly, how do they... How do they contribute to the mission? And make it be articulated in a way that you understand. You are part-time legislators, but you are the investors. And it's up to the experts to explain to you how it works. Who are the beneficiaries of the services? What are the measures? I think you can start having these next three questions. What are your balanced set of measures? I mean, if we're talking about less for less, if that's the directive, what is it? How much less is it? And what are we going to see on a service standpoint? And then the question for those that are beginning to do this, how are you actually using this? I like the question directly to the commissioner, but you've only been doing this 3 or 4 months. Are you doing anything with it? And the answer is, yeah, we are. This is the kind of thing that we're doing. And then how are they using this results information? Because this will get you are an investor. This is not asking someone how someone is using their performance measures is not micromanaging. Micromanaging is going in and saying, I don't think you need two buses to do that. There's a difference. Okay? So these are not micromanaging questions. These are appropriate investor in questions. And finally, the takeaways, and Pete kind of started with this. It's about changing the culture, moving away from just getting dollars and spending it to focusing on what are the outcomes we're actually getting and generating the idea of we have multiple departments contributing to this outcome, but we don't seem to be making any headway. What can we do about this? It changes how you're talking about investing, I think, as Pete said. It's the public's money you're investing. Investing has an embedded element of it that there's going to be some kind of return. It's not a monetary return, but it's a service or improvement return that you should expect. And again, I appreciate what Pete said. It's not a means to an end or a decision, but it's really a conversation starter to tee it up so that you've got a difficult job. But to really tee up what's important, where should you invest, and how well did you do? To tee up that conversation. The focus is to improve service to Alaskans, not keeping score. The other thing I'd say, I've been doing this a long time, you'll have agencies that tend to fall on one side or the other, or efficiency and effectiveness. Some agencies that will want to really focus on this is how well we're doing and could not tell you the cost. and others that can tell you exactly the cost of things but have not really focused on how well they're doing. What you want to get to is that balance, because it really is a trade-off. Witness the discussion we had around the Construction Academy. So with that, Mr. Co-Chair, that concludes our kind of formal presentation.
So I was just kind of pondering through my mind, and probably most of you do, is how do we look at different programs in this? So almost every day we have somebody in our offices that come in and tell us about these programs. How they save money or are going to save money, how they save lives, how they're just great to have. Then we have to decide whether you can afford them or not. You know, if public something saves lives, okay, so maybe we should put that money over in public safety, you know, Alaska State Troopers as opposed to Hess or wherever something is at in there. And that's how do we start measuring those things against each other? I mean, there's nothing that we do that's probably bad in somebody's eyes, but that's the difficulty that we have. We have got a lot of great programs. There's a lot of things that people want to see funded, and continuing funded, broadband, pick one. I'm just radio, public radio and TV. Great programs, help kids learn. Well, but we have Department of Education and schools wanting more funding individually in the schools. Is there a way that we can use this to try and measure those against each other?
Well, Mr. Chair, I mean, that is the tough position you all are in. And I, in my opinion, why I think you were elected into office is to have to deal with, I mean, when there isn't enough to cover the expenses, you either borrow money or you stop doing stuff. And how, I mean, that, and it's, there's a number of you folks have been elected in to try and find a way to hammer that out. This is maybe just to try and help you move towards that. You're in a very difficult position fiscally, and that's not stating the obvious. It just is. There is no silver bullet, as Pete said, and the types of things you have to do to determine what the services for Alaskans are going to be going forward, it can't be the same as what it's been in the past. But there isn't a formula or a program that just takes, for instance, a Hess, a DNR, and a DOT, bullion-bases them together and says, well, this is the best return on it. It isn't. These have become value-based for you folks because that's what the elected officials, people ask you to come to. I'm not trying to lecture, and I want to be very careful about that. But it is I'm not aware of any program that allows you to easily make this hard decision. Something like this can at least help get some of the flack out of the way so you can really look to see this could be the impact of those decisions. I think that in of itself is worthy so that you knowingly can say we are going to have hurt, but this is where – as a body, this is where we come to an agreement, compromise, on what it's going to look like for this next year, with at least some sense of knowledge of what that impact is going to be with that alignment and the potential service cut, as opposed to just a frustration and, well, we just have to cut more because we don't have enough and we don't really know and we're tired of the rhetoric. So I think you have a difficult task, and again, I'm not aware of any silver bullet out there that allows you to do this.
Yeah. Any questions? Thanks, Craig. And then again, Saturday morning, it's a lot more interactive. I think what's going to be happening Saturday, too, will be participating in this to a lot different level with other legislators and developing programs. If I remember the last time I went through this a few years ago in Anchorage, interesting, fun.
Excuse me. I want a lot of more Hess examples of actually showing how their cuts and whatnot, because we didn't focus on that here, which I just want to encourage maybe some of your staff or also to get there, too, to see really what when you really get the budget piece aligned up, what this can really start doing for you also with the measures.
Right. Well, we'll try and make sure we get emails out. You can spread around it. Like I said, not just staff, but if you're talking to other legislators, you know, ask, you know, mentioned it would probably behoove them to come and see this and help us develop our budgets as we go through that.
Great.
Representative Thompson?
Thank you. The next meeting of the House Finance Committee is scheduled for Friday, tomorrow, January 22nd, right here in Room 519 at 1:30 p.m. Overview of the Governor's FY17 Budget and 10-Year Plan, put on by Pat Pitney, Director of the Office of Management and Budget, and Commissioner Randall Hoffbeck, Department of Revenue. And thank you very much, Mr. Holt.
Thank you. Thank you all for your attendance. We'll adjourn for the day.